This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you to go ahead and keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, please turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place to take some sermon notes. I trust that God will give you something to take out with you today that He desires for you and for me to carry out with us, wherever it is He's calling us to go this week. If you're in need of something to write with, please raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you this morning. So, my wife Kara and I are at this season of life with our son Evan, who's, hard to believe, almost 8 months already, and we're trying to incorporate into his diet, his regimen, solid foods, which is kind of an oxymoron because it's mush. If any of you have ever fed a baby, you know that you don't start off with sirloin and T-bone steak. I'm ready to do it, but we're not there yet, and especially when he's got two little cheeseburger teeth, we're just not quite there yet. But we're going through all the ins and outs of what we should feed and when we should feed and what times of day and so forth. In the stream of life, as we're working through this and thinking about it and praying about it and getting feedback, particularly the last couple of weeks, I was led to think back to a conversation I had with another friend who described his family life like this when it came to his kids, especially as they were growing up. He said, "Kids get thirsty." And I kind of figured that, but tell me more. Well, you know, it's amazing. He put it this way, out of deep affection and love. "My kids are like camels." I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? He said, "Well, we can go out on a day's outing, or we can go to the zoo, or we can go on a long trip, multiple hours, states. And all along the way, my wife and I will ask our kids, 'Are you thirsty?' 'No, we're fine.' 'Oh, okay, several miles down the road, or are you thirsty?' 'No.' Okay, several hours, several states later, 'Are you thirsty?' 'No.' But then comes 9 o'clock p.m. 'Dad, Mom, I'm thirsty.'" And as he describes it, he says, it's really cute when it comes out of the mouth of a three-year-old, but when your kids get to be 19, 21 years old, you're like, come on, really? But he describes the long hours of the night, and maybe you've been there, and maybe you've had this experience where the kids are in bed, at least you hope, And you're in bed as well, and all of a sudden you hear that faint voice from down the hallway, the voice of a three-year-old. And the question is asked as only a three-year-old can ask it: "Mom, Dad, I need a dink." Right? Not a drink, but somewhere the art gets dropped out, and you know, years later it gets put back in. So, but "Mom and Dad, I need a dink." Okay? And the question that starts to circulate and percolate in Mom and Dad's mind is, where was this question hours ago? Where was this response when we asked a question and we wanted to satisfy the thirst? Why didn't it happen during the hours of the day when the sun was still up? Why are we getting it now when the moon and the stars are up and we're in bed and we're trying to go to sleep? But he said, it didn't matter. 9 o'clock, I need a dink. A little bit later throughout the week, 9:30. 9:30 becomes 10, 10 becomes 10:30, and so on. I need a dink. And my friend describes it this way. In a moment, almost like a command coming from the White House: "If you ask for a drink one more time, I will come and give you a spanking." Right? In other words, you should have asked earlier. And then comes the reply that only a three-year-old can offer: "Well, when you come to spank me, can you please bring me a dink?" I'll be there in a minute, right? As I thought about that this week, especially in looking at our gospel lesson for today, it struck me that sometimes we get thirsty, don't we? I wonder if you're thirsty today. And I'm not talking about if you're hydrated. I'm not talking about if you've slammed your water, your Gatorade, your coffee, whatever it is you drink on a Sunday morning. But what I'm asking is, are you thirsty? Is there an area of your life that you have a desire that needs to be met, but you've come to find that it just has not been quenched? Are you thirsty? This is a really good question that would have been great to ask the woman at the well, right? In John chapter 4, and John paints it out like this. In John chapter 4, Jesus engages this woman, this Samaritan woman, at this well. And she doesn't know it yet, but Jesus is about to walk into her life and change her life forever. And what she doesn't perhaps realize is just this. She is dying of thirst. But it's not the kind of thirst that's satisfied by dipping a bucket in a well. It's the kind of thirst that's only addressed through Jesus Christ. She's thirsty. And as we follow along in this situation, we start to see the ways in which she's tried to address this thirst in her life. But here's the thing. The more she keeps drinking from these wells, guess what? She's still thirsty. I wonder if you can relate. John maps it out for us like this. Jesus and his disciples are going around doing his ministry tour, and he intentionally goes into this area, and there's this key moment at this key place in this key situation, this key divine time, where Jesus has this conversation with this Samaritan woman, which blows her mind, by the way, because culturally speaking, that just doesn't happen. Number one, she's a woman, he's a guy. But the Jews and the Samaritans, as we see in the scriptures, they just don't play well together. But Jesus is different, isn't he? And instead of going away, what does he do? He goes towards. Because he knows that unless he addresses this woman's thirst for what she really needs, she's going to go through life thirsty. Thirsty for what's most important. In this conversation, we see three things highlighted, and I put them up on the screen for you today, and I'd really like to challenge you this morning to go back today and reread this gospel lesson, because here's what you see. You see life before Jesus, and you see life after Jesus. And maybe you can relate to that based on your life in the seasons of life. Times where maybe it felt like Jesus wasn't there, or he was, but just weren't really locking into his word. And then God's word came to you, and you could see how life played out as a result. For this woman, she's experienced life before Jesus, but now it's time to experience life with Jesus. Family space. And if you can picture it this way, I challenge you to do this. Picture it like an empty cup. Picture it like an empty cup, and this cup, she's trying to fill it with all the wrong stuff. Have you had that experience? There's a certain gap, a certain area of your life, and it just feels like empty, like you're running on E. It wakes you up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. It occupies your thoughts at work at 9 a.m. It goes with you to school. It goes with you to work. It goes back with you to your neighborhood. There's this empty vessel, right? And if you've had this experience like I have, sometimes we try to fill those empty voids in our life with all the wrong stuff, thinking that maybe, just maybe, that will quench our thirst. But the reality is we end up coming back to it, don't we? So for the woman, she's trying to fill this family space, if you will, this empty vessel with her family history. And we hear she has this conversation with Jesus, and she can trace her lineage back to Jacob when he gave the plot to his son Joseph and so on. She can stand on that all day, but the reality is there's a family that she really needs to be anchored to, the family of God. And until God, through Jesus, brings her into that, she will continue to drink from an empty vessel. Life before Jesus. But then after Jesus, it's a much, much different scenario. Area of worship. How many times have we tried to fill this space in our own lives with maybe the wrong stuff, the wrong people, the wrong idea of what worship could be? It strikes me as interesting every now and then when I have a conversation with somebody, and the conversation leads me to believe that the worship has become this idea of just, I go to this place, and I go to this space, and I go on this day, and I go for this hour, but then I exit, and then I come back. What if it's more? For this woman, she's begun to believe that the idea of worship, it happens in this one place at this mountain called Mount Gerizim. And then beyond that, life happens, and then you come back to the mountain and you do worship, and then you go out and you do your thing, and then you come back. In other words, this tension of, I try to fill, I get empty. I try to fill, I get empty. But Jesus has something bigger in mind for her. And what you see happen in her life is just this, life before Jesus, but life after Jesus. We'll come to that in a minute. And if it wasn't obvious by Jesus' engagement with her, especially over the number of husbands or the person who's with her now that's not her husband, she has a space in her life, a relational space, and boy, has she tried to fill it with all the wrong stuff and all the wrong people. And maybe, just maybe, if it was satisfactory or if it would quench her thirst, she wouldn't have to keep coming back to this person and then this person and then this person. Rinse, wash, repeat. But the takeaway is just this. She has empty spaces in her life, and she's thirsty. And she's dying of thirst. She doesn't know it, but she's dying of thirst in these areas. And unless someone comes into her life and quenches her thirst in the way she needs to be quenched, she will fade away. I might look at it like this. And maybe it helps you to frame it this way. The Samaritan woman had begun to view her future through the lens of her desires, which left her what? Thirsty. So the idea was this: I will be happy in life if I fill my life with this person. But that didn't work. So we're on to the next person. I will be happy down the road if I have this person in my life. But that didn't work. And so on and so on and so on. I've heard this over the years in a number of places, through young adults and through older. If I just date the right person, if I just marry the right spouse, all my worries and troubles will go away. And please hold your laughter, right? Because you know, like, in any relationship, there is a need for grace and mercy and forgiveness, right? But sometimes we look to that person to give us what only Jesus Christ can give us. And when that person isn't able to give us what we had hoped for, we feel let down, and we feel what? We feel thirsty. Sometimes it goes like this. Well, if I just had the right job, right? So I'm going to go to school for this. And I've had this conversation with college students over the years in a number of different places, from St. Louis to the East Coast to the West Coast to the Midwest. If I just picked the right school, the right academics, the right program, then I'll get the right job, and I'll have the right title, and I'll have the right money, then I can have the right family, then I can have the right house. And I can look down the road of my life through the lens of my desires, and it looks really good. But then what happens? Life happens, right? And the roadmap that you've written out for yourself, it does not happen that way. And when that happens for us, how do we feel? We feel thirsty. This woman is looking down the road of life, and she's seeing the future through a lens of her desires. But what she has continued to discover is just this, that those things have not fully satisfied, and they've left her what? Thirsty. But it's a good thing that God cares. It's a good thing that God, through Jesus Christ, is able to quench thirst, the kind of thirst that you and I have, the kind of thirst the world has, the kind of thirst that's only met in Jesus Christ. Listen again to what he says in verse 14. He says, "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Holy Spirit, faith, hope, things that last. Are you thirsty? People of God, are you thirsty today? For the woman, we see all these things swirling around, don't we? And we have all these spaces. And once again, if it helps you to picture all these empty glasses around her, please do that. Because I wonder if you have a lot of empty glasses in your life as well. And I'm not talking about what's in your kitchen cupboard at home. I don't want to know. What you have in your cupboard is your own business. But I wonder if in your areas of life you have empty vessels or empty spaces. And I wonder if you've been trying to fill those spaces with all the wrong things. And you try it again. And how does it leave you? Thirsty. And you tell yourself, well, that was maybe a fluke, so I'm going to try it again. And thirsty. But sometimes we know the things we're not supposed to do or the things we're not supposed to drink from, and we run back to it. And then we're surprised when we're still thirsty or desperate for these things. We try to fill this vessel called hope with all the wrong stuff, and then we're still thirsty. We try to fill the identity space. This is a big one nowadays, isn't it? Because you and I daily are told that in order to make it, we have to have certain things in our lives. And if we don't, well, then we're just not making it. Sometimes we try to fill the identity vessel with all the wrong things. And when we do, we walk away what? Thirsty. The emotional space. If I just have the right person in my life, I will always be happy. Are you happy? Sometimes we try to fill the emotional space, the family space, the faith space. But over all that, truth be told, here's what we're really trying to do. We're attempting to fill the God space by ourselves. And sometimes, oftentimes, all the time, when we try to fill the God space with anything or anyone other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we walk away what? Thirsty. Are you thirsty today? I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know what challenges you've faced. I don't know what season of life you've been in. I don't know what empty spaces you've had. I don't know if this reflects your season of life or if you'd add your own today. You're like, yeah, where are the other categories where I write other? You know, But I wonder if you've been trying to fill the empty spaces of life with all the wrong things to the point where today you just feel thirsty and you need something more. Are you in that place today? My question to you once again is this. What are you thirsty for this morning? And how are you attempting to quench that thirst? Is it through Jesus Christ? Is it through his word for you? Is it through the body of Christ for you? Or has it been through something that just doesn't satisfy? The start of our gospel lesson, and we didn't look at this verse today, but I challenge you to go back and read it in context. Because it's interesting in verse 4 where John writes this. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. I'm kind of struck curious by that. Jesus being the mobile Jesus that he is, he could go anywhere. He could have gone around this area. He could have waited and then maybe passed through a different way, different angle, different time. But I find it interesting that John writes this. Jesus had to go through that way. Knowing Jesus as I know him, here's what I know. Jesus knew there was a need. There was someone dying of thirst, someone that was constantly filling their life with all the wrong stuff, like drinking salt water. The idea of I'll be satisfied, but it really makes me more thirsty, and it's actually killing me. Jesus, in recognizing this woman's need, he knew there was no other place to go. And that's for you and for me as well. Jesus knows that without him, you and I are lost. Jesus knows that unless he does for you and for me what we can never do for ourselves, we will be thirsty eternally. And so this is what he does for you and for me. He goes to a cross for you. He walks out of a tomb for you. And he comes to us today with his body and blood in the gift of Holy Communion to quench your thirst for forgiveness, for grace, for mercy, for community, and for a fresh start today. Are you thirsty? Let's pray.